Hi, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to discuss the things that you should know as you're first getting into the business. Things to think about, things to avoid, the things you shouldn't avoid. Well, I'll explain. I recently received an email from someone, a listener, who wanted to suggest an idea for a podcast. This particular listener was just getting into the business and wondered if I would be willing to address this idea of, you know, the things that the new actors should know getting into the business. And, you know, at first when I read that, I thought, well, I think that's kind of covered in a lot of different podcasts. But when I thought that, I realized, well, wouldn't it be good to just go ahead and put together a podcast for the beginner so they could just kind of listen to this and perhaps maybe it would help them start off on the right foot. And so I'm going to do that today. And here we go. All right. So I'll try and take it a step at a time. And I guess the first step is I would say to any actor wanting to get into the business, why? Why would you even think of doing something like this? Now, you know, I've heard this since I was a kid, and I always felt it was just so pessimistic. You know, who am I to tell anyone, you know, not to be in the business? I mean, that doesn't seem fair. I mean, who am I to stand in the way of anyone's dreams? But I'm doing a podcast, and so buyer beware. And I feel it's my duty to give you the disclaimer. But, you know, having said that, and even though I want to give you fair warning, and I'm going to explain that, in my life, I've also seen people early on when I thought one could make a judgment about these types of things, people I thought were never going to make it and went on to be huge stars and, you know, enjoy extravagant lifestyles. So what I do feel I should discuss is this idea of why anyone would ever tell anyone else that if you could possibly do anything else in life that would bring you joy, any kind of happiness, that you would be all right with, go do that and don't do the motion picture industry. And so what are we really talking about, right? Is it that it's hard? Oh, yes, of course, of course. Of course it's hard. Yes, yes. Is it impossible? Oh, yes, it is completely impossible. Yep, to get into the business. Yeah. But you see, the problem I have with those two words right there is that just challenges me, and I'm sure most of you. Hard? Oh, come on, bring it on. Let's do it. Impossible? Okay, let's have at it. I'll show you impossible. I mean, you know, these types of words, when we hear them, I think tend to just inspire us. And if the business were just about it being hard, and if you worked hard, you could make it, or if it's impossible, and if you could overcome the impossibility of it, you could make it. That seems, almost appetizing for me. That's not what it is. That's not the thing that I think the old cats and now me are warning the newcomers about. I'll tell you the worst part of it. It is the soul-sucking, soul-crushing aspect of being in the business. That's the tough part. It's not about it being difficult or hard or impossible, or you got to have stick-to-itiveness and all that, which, of course, you have to have all of these things. I just think more than, well, I think any other industry that I can think of, it plays with you and can damage you in ways that most jobs never could, because you see it plays a lot on your ego, your sense of vanity, and it's, you know, you are the product, you are the one that is constantly being judged, you are the one that has to step into the room and actually, you know, audition the first person, meaning it's not even a painting you paint and put over there. Not that I'm saying that's any less difficult of an art to deal with, but it's nothing that stands outside of you, it is you constantly. And it can be a very lonely profession because, you know, I know there's probably support groups for this kind of thing, but you end up spending a lot of time in your own head trying to overcome your fears, your insecurities, you know, it's just, I'm telling you, and you know, and having said this, and saying this now, of course, I am going to try to inspire you to get into the business, but I think at the top, I really have to say that this is not to be trifled with. This is like crazy commitment, stick-to-itiveness, but you've got to have a mental agility. And, you know, they say things like, well, you know, you got to have the hide of a rhinoceros and all that. And I don't think so, because I don't think any artist wants to have the hide of a rhinoceros. I think we have to remain incredibly sensitive and open to the world and our feelings and everything. I really think at the end of the day, it's going to be the way that you gain perspective. It's all perspective. And the more I could front load your steps into the industry with, you know, buyer beware, know that it's coming. It's almost more like I want to let you know there are going to be some boogeymen and there are going to be some things that are going to jump out and scare you. And there are going to be some times where you're just going to feel like it is completely overwhelming. And I want you to hear all those things, know those things, so that when they do come, it's not going to be a shocker to your system. Like I've said many times, if you know the water's freezing before you jump in, it's less likely to stop your heart. So this is very important. If you're getting into the business because, you know, it's groovy, or you might be able to get free stuff, or, you know, it'd really be cool to be on a Disney show because then you could get swag. I mean, if it's anything other than truly something that for the sake of the art, you are completely obsessed with. It is just, it brings you such joy on any level. And there's no stopping you. That's it. You're like on a Terminator mission. Instead of Sarah Connor, you're looking for your next acting job. Okay, if that's who you are, well, tally-ho. And I wish you nothing but Godspeed and the very best. All right, so now assuming you're still listening because you didn't listen to the first part and think, oh, wait a second, he makes sense, I'm out of here. Let's move on to the next part. I think the next super valid question I would ask any actor at this point, wanting to be an actor, is I would give you this very simple business question, and that question would be, why you? Why you? Why are we going to buy your product? What are you bringing to market that you feel is so marketable? Now, right off the top, I want you to just kind of keep this idea in mind. And as you listen to this podcast, and again, not to dissuade you, but perhaps more to encourage you, to get your thoughts lined up, for you to be able to see this entree into the business as clearly as possible, to be as objective as possible, I would like you to stand outside of yourself. I would like you to become the CEO of the company that is going to be owner, managing, agenting, you know, your own self. Like, that's your product. You're standing outside of your product. You're looking at your product. And then when you answer these questions, I really want you to look at that product. I really want you to be as honest as you can, because it's always going to be better if you've got both feet firmly on the ground when you answer all of these questions and when you listen to this podcast. You'll make best use of the material. So why you? Why you? What is it? What is it about you that you feel is... Now, it doesn't have to be unique. It's not like, oh, well, I can do something no one else can do, although, of course, that's always handy. But what is it that you do? Why? Really? You know, I've met, of course, tons of actors in my entire career, and it starts in funny places. You know, you have an auntie that just thinks you're everything and says, you're so handsome, you should be an actor. And you hate working at the Walmart or at the Piggly Wiggly. And so you think, you know, maybe I'll go be an actor. What is it? Why you? Why you? Now, it doesn't, as I said, it doesn't have to be like you have some unique gift. It can be anything. You can say, well, you know, I love human behavior. I've always loved movies from when I was a kid. I play acted in my room with my friends. I'm obsessed with it. I love reading about it. I just think that being able to tell stories and stuff, you know, it's a lot of fun. And believe me, I've always said that I think that acting is a very noble profession. I mean, I've spent obviously my whole life in it. I think in a best case scenario, you know, it's an incredibly helpful and unique thing that a society needs. Society needs entertainment. You know, we need to be able to sometimes step away and go into these other worlds, you know. I think I've told the story many times that, you know, it was known that during the Depression, when people didn't even have a dime, if they could get a dime, they'd go into a movie theater just to be able to step out of their own life and be entertained and go somewhere else. And I am sure that storytelling and entertaining has been around since the dawn of man. I'm sure there was some cavemen, you know, around a campfire, and there was perhaps one little Gonko. He was very funny, and he started entertaining, and it brought the others and himself joy. So, you know, it is a great thing, certainly. But you have to decide what it is that is so compelling about it that makes you want to be a part of it. And I promise you, the more real and kind of wholesome that answer is, the better off you'll be. You'll set this whole experience, this adventure you're about to go on, it'll be based more on a firm foundation of why you're trying to do the next thing. I mean, if you do it on a whim, listen, can you become successful? Oh, absolutely. Of course. Of course you can. You know, could it happen immediately? Oh, absolutely. Sure. Yeah, you could do your first job, and then you could get a lead in a series, and then your career just take off, and that be your story, you see. And it's your story, that very story there, that ends up drawing lots of people into the business, and then breaking lots of hearts, you know, because people will hang on to that one story. They will think, wow, you know, I heard about that one guy or that one gal and blah, blah, blah. Much like people who smoke excessively and drink too much will always want to point to that guy who lives in Manila who's 102 and he swears that he smokes 5 packs of cigarettes a day and he drinks 2 bottles of bourbon and that's why he has lived so long. And people that want to indulge in the same kind of vice will say, oh, well, there's that guy in Manila, you know, I mean, well, why not him, why not me? You know, it's kind of the same thing. You know, we tend to latch on to the best case scenario and imagine it happening to ourselves, and it might very well. But there's a larger chance that it will not ever. Know these things. Just be practical. You know, that's the difference between, you know, the dreamer actor and a smart CEO that's looking at their product and that way constantly thinking, how do I position it? What do I need to do to this product? How can I improve this product? How can I make this product something that, you know, people are going to want? What is it about the product they don't want? You know, I'm telling you, if you can hang on to this idea throughout your career, it will actually, in the end, help kind of insulate you from the pain that we sometimes feel, because we do take these things incredibly personally, as I said at the onset here, that it's all about us. It's about us stepping in the room. We take the criticism. They write about us in the reviews. You know, it's really tough. And when you get rejection, when you hear bad feedback, if you can step outside yourself and be the CEO and not take it so personally, just think, okay, how can I revamp this product? That's one thing that's going to kind of keep your nostrils above the surface of the water, which you will fight your whole life trying to keep them there. And the nostrils will be fine. I mean, it'd be great if you get your whole head up, but sometimes just so you can get a little air and keep on keeping on. So it might even be wise to make a list. You know, what it is you love about the business, why you love that about the business, you know, what you see yourself doing, why you think you could do those things. And just continue to be as clear as you can. That's all. I mean, look, you could just on a whim go and get into the business. You could try for 3 or 4 years and then you could decide you don't like it anymore. So it's not like you've got to go through some gauntlet of questions right now. You don't have to. These are just things I'd like to put in your head to kind of just be aware of, because I think it might help you keep your sanity. So the first thing is, if there's anything else you can do, go do it. You've decided, no, this is the thing. And the second thing is to constantly ask yourself the question, why me? What is it about me? What is it about my product? Why? And then when you, you know, run into a sandbar here and there, reevaluate, step back. Don't take it personally. What is it? And then you want to kind of sharpen whatever your discoveries are. For instance, if it's completely determined you are the leading man type, you are the rough and tumble guy, you're the person who does, you know, you have a particular set of skills that's probably going to be called upon in a movie to do, sharpen those skills. If they're going to ask you to do a certain accent all the time, sharpen those accents. If you're supposed to look like the ingenue or the, you know, handsome guy, keep yourself looking that way. Keep the product tight. Keep it the way it's supposed to be. But if there's skills, like I say, accents or certain abilities that, you know, it would enhance, rather than just put it on there as special skills and figure, well, I'll figure out how to do that when the time comes, you know, actually be able to do the things that you say you can do and get good at them. And again, it's the CEO thing. What's my product? How's it going to be positioned in the marketplace? What's the best thing I can do? Now, are you going to necessarily get it right? Well, no, not necessarily. You might have it completely wrong. But the fact is, it's better to kind of plan these things. It makes the whole entree into the business, I think, a little more practical. There's a little more design involved, and I think that adds to a certain confidence, so you don't feel like you're just, you know, floating in outer space trying to latch onto something. You've actually constantly thinking this way, and then I think that just sets up that behavior where you take things less personally. Okay. So now you've decided these things, and the next question, the next thing I'd have you think about, it's very, very important, and that is skill, ability. Do you have skill and ability? And you should constantly be trying to improve it. You make the decision right now that for the rest of your life, you are going to practice getting better at what you do. Now, you may get lucky. You may start working, and then that'll be the way that you improve your skills. You may be suddenly on the pro circuit, and you get to play golf all the time. Good for you. You had a natural swing, and man, you know, you're just an anomaly, and you're immediately a star, and you're working all the time, and that working is keeping that blade sharp. Good for you. For 99.9% of the acting population, that's not the way it goes. So you make a commitment to yourself as the CEO that you're going to continue to enhance your skills. You're going to read the proper books. You're going to look at all the things. You're going to learn as much as you can from the cats that have been around. You're going to pay rapt attention. You're not going to just have your head in the clouds. You're going to be the person that is looking at it like a CEO. Hey, having fun the whole time, being creative, you know, come on, you know, letting your hair down, have fun with it all. But you've always got an eye to your product and what you can do to make the product better. And I think almost more than any other industry in the world, you have to pay rapt attention because the competition is so ridiculously high. It is so impossible. It is so soul-crushing. It is so hard. So right from the get-go, you are one serious customer. And you are going to set out to get this done. And you see, once you, I'm sure you can feel it as I'm talking to you, you see, once you start looking at things like this, those butterflies, the doubts, everything, they can just kind of move out of your way because you're realizing, no, I'm not, you know, praying to the acting gods, it'll happen. I am putting one foot in front of the other. I've got design, I've got plan. And when you do something like that, it tends to kind of brush the fear away and self-doubt and get it down to, no, I got a plan. I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that, then I'm going to get this done, I'm going to create this project, I'm going to make sure I go there, I'm going to do this. This kind of thing, I think, helps keep sanity. And sanity is sometimes a lost commodity in the industry. And I think that sanity is incredibly useful, incredibly. And insanity, well, it's, you know, you need to fire that guy right away because they're gonna mess up the entire production line. Okay, so very, very important. Now, as I said, sometimes an actor will just, I don't know, be a friend of someone who's making a movie, and that friend thinks this particular fellow or gal is incredibly funny and engaging and just seems like a natural. They make some project, they put this person in, bang, the person's incredible in it. And then one thing leads to another, and here we have a person who's never had any training. They jumped right in, they were excellent right off the bat, and their career soared. Does it happen? Oh, absolutely. And in fact, I'm positive it's happening somewhere in the world, in some market somewhere right now. There's over 7 billion people. It's bound to happen. But here's the thing. If that's what you hold out for, you might run into this problem. In your first situation, your first outing, maybe you're lucky enough to get into some project because somebody likes the cut of your jib. You end up sucking, and you're terrible. You see, the problem in the industry is that perhaps more than any other industry, you're only as good as your last job. You've heard of that? Well, you see, you end up burning bridges. I mean, all you need is a little bit of bad tape of you doing some very bad acting, floating around, and, you know, that's who you are. People don't look into your soul. They don't know that you've changed. And so when I'm working with beginning actors and, you know, we're doing this real-life actor studio stuff, and the tendency is, I find, and this has been my observation, that the new actors come in, which I love working with new actors because we don't have any stupid habits of other crazy acting stuff I need to rid them of. They come in, we do this real-life actor approach, and honestly, after about a month, I can see it in them. They're already feeling like, yeah, come on, bring it. I want an agent. Let me go. Why can't I audition? And truly, they're doing, you know, very nice work in the class, and, you know, why shouldn't they work? I mean, I'm watching their work. Everyone sees their work. It's like, that's as good as anything. I mean, certainly you could start to get a few jobs in television. The problem is that this is like in a best-case scenario in a controlled environment, you know, where you've gotten very, very comfortable and you're doing nice work. And then this actor wants to go out. They figure they're better than their friends, and certainly in this controlled environment they are. But then you go and you audition for someone, and you walk in that room, and all those other actors look more like you than you do. And then you walk in, and you're meeting the person. You realize, oh, my goodness, this could be the one. And then you end up collapsing in on yourself, and you don't do a great job, and what you do is you burn a bridge. You burn a bridge with that casting director because this casting director has allowed your agent to talk you into coming into that room to take a chance on you, and because you're so new and because you're being tested, it's really kind of difficult to, you know, smash a home run first time up at bat. You end up being human, not doing your best work. Well, now it's a box upon you. You see, you messed it up. And there's a good chance this casting director may never see you again. Why? Out of spite? No. Business. Because there's a babillion people in the business. They can only see so many people in a day. And once an actor has proven themselves to be less than worthy, well, we just move on to the next contestant. Does that mean you'll never have the chance? No, you might, depending on the relationship the agent has with that particular casting director, depending on your look, depending on, you know, how marketable your look is, or, you know, maybe the casting director liked the cut of your jib and just thought, well, maybe I'll give that person another chance. But I'm just telling you that if you go off half-cocked, there is a chance that you will burn bridges. And then, so you see, in your hurry to get into the business, because you're feeling, you know, so flush and full and like you think you can do it, and in the best case scenario, you probably can. So you need to focus on improving your skills all of the time. You have to remain a student your entire life. It'll keep you humble. It'll keep you current, you know, fresh, oily, always ready to go. You're always practicing, even when you're not working. It'll keep your spirit up. And if I could give any advice to a new actor, I'd say, try and stay out of the business as long as you can. In other words, really try and acquire the skills first. Again, in the old days, of course, you went to some theater school or conservatory, and, you know, it kind of mandatorily kept you out of the business for at least a couple of years, maybe three, maybe four, where you were sharpening your skills, gaining confidence, getting better and better at it. You see, it was kind of forcing you into not getting into the industry too early. Not unlike a high school athlete who might show tremendous potential, but then, you know, just be too green to suddenly jump into the NBA. And, you know, one could then in hindsight say if they'd spent the extra 4 years in college, they could have, you know, matured enough to be able to handle all those other things that come with stepping into a very volatile business. And it's very volatile. The industry is very volatile. It's volatile in the sense that, you know, it's just they're churning and burning through people, man. The industry, it doesn't have a big compassionate heart. No, it is so bottom line about the numbers, about the cash being made, about what they're looking for, what they need, what they don't need. There's not a lot of empathy for the struggling actor there, so you can't expect any ever. And again, it's not about taking on some sort of hardened, cynical view, you know, and live with it, and then that's how you manage to get through it, you know. No, not at all. Again, it's the water is freezing. It's freezing. Just know that it's freezing. And so when you jump in, get ready, because it's freezing. And I think that just will make you a more adept player at the game. And so now here we are. So how do you practice? Yes, I know. I know. You know, people ask me this question, you know, well, you know, Jeff, I don't live around you. Where can I go study? And unfortunately, I have no answers for you. I have no answers for you. And it's not out of some kind of ego-driven reasoning. It is because I haven't ever found a school of thought that I like, aside from the Real Life Actor Method, because it's very different. We don't talk about acting, and everyone else wants to talk about acting and get you in your head. And so I haven't met that other coach yet. I'd like to believe they're out there. I don't know who they are, but I would give you this rule of thumb, right? Because you are where you are, and conscientiously, you're going to want to go and get involved in something. Well, let me just give you this as the rule of thumb. If it makes sense to you, and when you get up and work with this particular teacher, coach, whoever, you feel better, you feel stronger, it is completely clear what they're saying, you feel like your acting muscles growing each time, stay there. You're in a good place. If you get into a situation because they charge a lot of money and supposedly Leonardo, whoever, you know, and none of it makes sense or it makes you uncomfortable, or, you know, you don't feel good there, it's confusing, you feel frustrated every time you leave, please do not decide it's because you're starting and you don't know what you're doing. I promise you that if it's right, you will know what the person is talking about, it'll be clear, and then when you use what they say, your work will improve. If it doesn't improve, if it is not clear, flee. You're in the wrong place. That's all. Go look for another place. Do not be intimidated into thinking, well, you know, it's me. I'm new and I don't know. And, you know, supposedly Stanislavski and this guy hung out and blah, blah, blah. Don't do any of that. Just look for clarity. Now, obviously, and I guess I would be remiss not to mention that you could certainly start off by watching the videos that I have. Instructional videos on my website, reallifeactor.com, and see if those things don't turn some lights on for you. You could, obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, listen to all of them. I try and put out as much information as I can. And then there's my book, The Real Life Actor, which you can get on Amazon. There's also a Kindle version. So, you know, if you can deal with the electronics of it, I think for under $8, you can get a lifetime of my observations for under $8, which I think is really a good price. When I sit here and think about a lifetime of my observations, $8. Yeah, that's pretty dang fair. You know, if nothing else, if you listen to the podcasts, watch the videos, and read the book, and then go off wherever you go, even though you may not find another place which, you know, echoes exactly what I do, you at least will have a frame of reference, because if what I'm saying here and what I say in the other podcasts and in my book and in the videos makes sense to you, at least you'll have a frame of reference. And while another coach's ideas may not line up perfectly with mine, I think through going through what I just told you to do on the website, the podcast, and my book, it'll at least maybe help illuminate the things that you could perhaps just chuck to the side and say, okay, that doesn't make sense to me, and Jeff said it's okay that it doesn't, I won't care about that. This is useful over here, I will use this. And it might help you navigate through whatever the courses or teachings are wherever you are. Now, at some point in time, I plan on setting up studios anywhere I can, because I want to franchise the Real Life Actor approach, and that way I can have studios in whatever cities anyone would care to open one up. The idea being that the approach is so different that one could know that if you came there and you studied there, well, certainly you weren't going to get inundated with gobbledygook, and that there was going to be a basic philosophy about the industry, the approach to acting, that I think is perhaps clear and less mucked up with nonsense created by people who have never actually been in the industry. So there you have that. So now we've covered, of course, fleeing from the industry if you can, why you think that you are marketable. And so now we've discussed the idea of being a good CEO, keeping a level head and not taking anything personally, but just continually figuring out ways to revamp your product, to modify your product, to strengthen your product, to bring it to market, to make it the best thing. I've asked you to get your skills together, okay? Get your skills together so that when you do have the opportunity, you see, you're not going to go off half-cocked. You want to get to the point that when you enter your first tournament, you come up with a great score, okay? You don't have to win the tournament, but you definitely want to be someone where, you know, the other people look at you and say, you know, this kid's got potential, and that's okay. So believe me, it would be better to take the extra time in the beginning to make sure that you were ready to step into battle with actual live ammo going over your head than to take a shortcut and then perhaps really impede your chances. So patience is important. And honestly, if I could tell an actor, and this is like, let's say, if someone were studying with me and they were willing to commit 1 year, and they were just starting 1 year before stepping into the industry, and that's not a lot of time. A year flies by, man. I would think that would be a great commitment. Now, I say a year with me because I feel like after a few months, you know, most actors have got a good grip on, you know, how to approach a scene. But, you know, when I went to get my pilot's license, I worked with this incredibly gifted teacher, and I know teaching. And this fellow was much younger than I was, and I thought he was fantastic. He actually is now the captain of Walt Disney's airlines. I mean, he is the guy that runs all the planes for Walt Disney, and he's like the youngest captain ever. So, you know, obviously my appraisal of him was correct. But I remember he kept me from being able to solo for the longest time. I thought, come on, you know, I was skilled. I wanted to get my license, but I never said anything about it, because the way it works is there comes a day when the instructor finally just says, all right, look, and they just don't get in the plane or something. You know, it's always a surprise. And they go, today's the day. And they hit you with it. And now's the day that you're going to go up. You're going to solo. You're going off on your own. And this is it. This is the day you're going to be tested. I remember it frustrating me because I thought I was a great pilot. Why is it taking so long? And I never said anything about it because I knew that was always the teacher's call. So I said, all right, you know, whatever. I reasoned that, you know, I really enjoyed flying with Eddie, and having him in the plane with me was always a treat. We had great conversations, and I was getting sharper and sharper all the time, certainly. I mean, it was never just redundant lessons. He was always doing something else. But you know what happened was that when the day came, when it was finally my turn, man, I was so ready for it. I was so good to go. I was beyond, you know, it was like, okay. And then so certainly the day came off without a hitch. And I think I'm a much better pilot for it. So I think there might be some real currency in trying to hold yourself back. Just getting so skilled and so ready, I think that's important. So for what it's worth, try not to be impatient, okay? The industry isn't going anywhere. You don't want to burn any bridges. You want to, when you step up to bat, make sure you get some wood on that ball. That's all you got to do, but you can't strike out. You don't want to strike out. I mean, I don't want that to sound ominous, but look, you know, that's how it works. So, now, the next thing I'd say to you is, as much as possible, and in being the CEO, try and look at everything as practically as you can. You know, if you have a question about something, an idea, maybe I'll try this, maybe I'll do that. Again, like the CEO, just step away from it and look at it. Like, for instance, you know, people say, oh, I'm going to go and I'm going to go to this party. I'm going to network, you know. Hear about networking. We have networking parties. Oh, my God, man. Anyone in the industry will tell you that stuff doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I mean, it does if you're Tom Cruise and you're at a party and then you finally meet this director you've never worked with and the director says, hey, yeah, you know, Tom, you and I should get together. Yeah, that networking worked fine. But the idea that you're just some guy or some gal and you go to a party and then you get a card from that director and then what, they give you a job? Well, let me ask you this. Why you? You know how many babillion people want to be in this director's movie? And then now, because you met them over a martini, they're going to, you know, as much as possible, just step back and look at things practically. Imagine how many times the same scenario happens over and over and over again. Like when you go into an audition, and I keep telling you, don't ask questions. Imagine if everyone asked questions, how long the day would go. Imagine if everyone said, can I do it again? Can I do it three times? Can I do the audition four times? How long the day would go. Just keep taking whatever's going on, step back and say, okay, does this happen frequently? If it does, what's the upside? What's the downside? Just be as practical as you can about things, right? You know, it's like the idea that, you know, like when you see an actor that you love, you know, and you think, well, I'll just go up and I'm just asking for a selfie or something. If they're a very, very successful actor, imagine how many times they get asked that a day. And then imagine yourself. And you, oh, I'd love it. Would you? Would you really love it? You know, my friend J.C. McKenzie, who I've done a thing with here, a podcast with, he told me about a night he went out with Ray Romano because they both worked together in vinyl. And they were in a restaurant, and someone walked up to Ray Romano and said, can I get a picture with you? And he immediately said no. And at that moment, JC thought, wow, that's pretty tough. He's Ray Romano. I mean, my goodness, you know, whatever. And then another person, and then another person, and then he realized, oh, of course. If Ray says yes to this one person, there is going to be a conga line of people in the restaurant suddenly wanting to get selfies. The whole place is going to be disrupted. They won't get to eat their meal. Nothing's going to work out well tonight. The point of the story? Look at things and then imagine how often this thing could happen and then get your answer. So you could put that into an idea you have. I'm going to, you know, ask a casting director this question. I'm going to do that with this director. I'm going to go and meet him and say that to him. I'm going to whatever. And imagine, does this happen a lot? Would it happen a lot? And if it does happen a lot, is this me being clever or is this an encumbrance? You see, how am I going to crack the code? Am I just going to pile up on top of all the other bodies taking the same exact, you know, street to get where they want to go? Is that what I do? Wouldn't everyone try to do this? And if they would, what is the downside? Is there a better way? Try and be, you know, clever in this chess game of the industry. Constantly be looking ahead. Think, all right, if I make this move, does everyone make this move? And if everyone makes this move, is there a better move? Is there a downside to this move? Sometimes we make the move everyone makes. That's just the way we do it. But sometimes we look at it and we think, yeah, that's what everyone does, and I can see how that could be a nuisance. So maybe the cool thing to do is not do any of that. Just like when I tell actors, walk in, hit your mark, say hello very nicely, just like a nice human being when you go in for the audition. When they say, do you have any questions? Say no. Crush it once and say thank you very much and walk out. Why do I do that? Well, first of all, it's expeditious, which the industry needs. But what it does is it sets you apart, you see. Because the actors that do it just the way I described it like that always come off like professionals, and not everyone does that. Oh, I'll tell you who does that. The professionals that are actually very good at what they do. I'll tell you what normally happens. Person's nervous, they got questions, they don't have their papers in order, they're shuffling around, then they ask another question, and then because they're so into all this other nonsense, they screw up their audition, then they ask to do it three times, and then they have a few questions afterwards. And the actor never stops and steps back and thinks about that product they're putting in the market and think to themselves, you know, that could be a nuisance. Why? Well, if everyone did that in every audition, this would be a lousy day. What would be a great day? People coming in and doing what I described first. Be practical. Step back and look at it. Here's another thing you need to look out for. Generally, anything that asks you for money is always to be something you should be wary of. In other words, I'll represent you, but to put you in the thing, we just need a little fee of $49.95 a month. That'll keep you current in all of the blah, 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 blahs. I'd like to take you on. You're very interesting. Listen, I want you to go to, I have a photographer I like to use. It's only $800, they'll say. It's only $800. We're going to get the thing, and then we're going to put you in here, and then for another $200, we list you in this thing and everything. And most novice actors will fall for that because they'll think, no, just, you got to commit. I mean, you got to put in money to make money, you know. But no, here's how it works. Most legitimate places don't ask for money to represent you or to, well, basically to represent you or get you auditions. So, and I know some of you are listening to this going, well, duh, but I promise you, I get lots of emails from people and they tell me these horrific stories about how they were squeezed into paying this kind of money to get that to happen, and then they were asked for more money and then more money, and now they're into it. So, you know, famously, they did this with kids, right? There'll be these outlets sometimes in malls where they come in and they go, we can get your kid on a Disney show, and then they bring the kid in, and then they say, look, we can get pictures like this, and then they show you the pictures, and they make sure the kid sees it. So the kid goes, oh, yeah, I like those pictures. Look at that with the hat on crooked. Mommy, mommy, take those pictures. And then they say, well, you know, we can make your kid a star, but it'll cost this much. But, you know, if you want the kid to be a superstar, you know. And then they have the kid there, and then the kid's crying, and then the mother thinks, you know, and they'll say, oh, you know, we see a lot of talent in your kid. And then the mother is feeling, well, yeah, I see talent in my kid too. And they just prey upon these things, and they end up getting a lot of money out of people and nothing in return. So anything that asks for money, just be wary. Do your research. Google it. My goodness, you can Google it now. You can look for Yelp reviews. I mean, there's so many ways to check things. The problem is, you know, most actors will have stars in their eyes, so they'll just want to believe because we're all so desperate, you know. No, man, don't. That's, you know. That's how people end up screwing up, and that's how you end up, that's how you end up on the boulevard of broken dreams. And you want to avoid that boulevard at all costs. Try to remember always that acting isn't the job. Getting the job is the job. Acting is the fun part. Acting is the vacation. Acting, being on the set and the movie and the play, that's vacation, fun, lovely time. No, you're going to spend your life at the job, and the job is going to be the job of getting work. That's the job. Get ready, because that's what you're going to put your shoulder to. That's the thing. That's the heavy lifting. And by getting the job, that also means staying in the game. That also means keeping your head together. That also means, you know, that's what you spend your lifetime doing, for those brief moments that you get to enjoy yourself on a set or on a stage somewhere. Be as practical as you can be. Be as level-headed as you can be. Find joy every day in your life. Find it. Find it. Because you never want to be the desperate person. You never want to be the sad ass who tries to turn their frown upside down for the sake of the audition. We can always tell. You want to be this shiny penny that walks into the room that we think would be a gift to have on our project. Because you know who you are and you know what your product is. You know how to put your best foot forward. You've thought things through. You're a great CEO. You know what product placement is, and you know how to place your product. You know what you're doing. But above all, I think that we don't want tortured artists. We want people that seem successful. So you need to find that equilibrium in your life to where day to day, no matter what's happening with you, with working, whether you're working or not, you have found joy. Listen, the bottom line is, otherwise you're just going to waste your life. And in the pursuit of which will, in retrospect, look like nonsense. But if you're having a great time, if you found a way to find that equilibrium, to have a way to make an income so where you can, you know, at a regular job, to where you can live and not constantly be under stress, and where you can go off and train and then make projects up, whether you're just, you know, doing readings or short plays, as I've mentioned in other podcasts, or putting together projects, filming stuff on your phone. You're constantly doing stuff and you're finding joy. Yes, you're not quite in the national arena yet, but you are. You have this confidence of knowing you're a serious person and you are out there trying to make it happen and you are learning every step. You know, you can have a wonderful life here and it'll help you. It'll help keep it from being that soul-crushing experience that it is for many people who have been in the business a long time. Above all, whenever possible, remain humble, remain a student, always be improving, always be improving. If you ever have any questions about anything in the industry, about resumes, how to put a reel together, you know, what kind of headshots, who should you use, what's the going price? This stuff is so easy to figure out these days, folks. Just get your computer, Google it. You know, triangulate, ask at least three different people, find out what it is, do your research, don't be lazy, be a great CEO, look at it, look at things, look at what's working, look at what's trending, do your research, treat it like a business, lose the delusional, you know, dreamy bullshit about being in this industry, and just look at everything practically, pace yourself for a marathon. Acquire the skills, look at it, get it done, be a good CEO. And certainly if you have any other questions, well, you know where to find me. Thanks for listening, and good luck and Godspeed. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. If you have any other questions about anything you'd like to know about the Real Life Actor, you can always go to reallifeactor.com. And remember to follow us on Podomatic or subscribe to iTunes. Thanks so much for listening.